Blaise Pascal said this, "Truth is so obscure in these times and falsehood so established that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it." Man, loved one, listen. The Word of God, hide it in your hearts. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello, everyone. We pray that your day is going well, and we're delighted you've tuned in for Pastor Bill's study from the Epistle of Galatians. In Pastor's teaching today, the Apostle Paul encourages the believers to stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So let's join Pastor for today's study, Love, Not Law.
Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. We have two chapters left in this incredible defense of the doctrine of justification by faith. What a glorious time it's been. But remember, you know, we know now the theme of Galatians. It's not only defending the justification by faith alone, but really what really and truly makes a person a Christian. You know, there's a lot of things that are happening today that are very confusing. In other words, we have baptisms today. Does baptism, Jesus plus baptism, does it save you? Jesus alone. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Jesus is Lord and God raised him from the dead, you truly believe that, you'll be saved. Amen? That's what God promised. After you repent or after you're saved, then comes the next step where we obey the commandment, be baptized. It does you no good to be baptized unless you are born from above, because the water will not help you. You'd be better off just go ahead and being drowned. You understand? So, you know, how are we saved? Well, it's not Jesus plus anything. That's religion. That's legalism. That's self-effort. That's what we've been learning in this great epistle that we've been studying. It is Jesus alone. It's by faith alone, amen, through grace alone that a person is saved. You believe it and in your heart, and God says, boy, you do that, and you will be saved. So we know that you can't be saved again by works, by rules, by legalisms, by law, or being good, because there's not anyone that's any good anyway, amen? God says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. So this morning, as we begin, listen very carefully. The first four chapters of Galatians, they are mainly doctrinal, okay? But when we get to chapters 5 and 6, now we take the doctrine that we have learned and we take that right doctrine and we turn it into practice, or we apply that to our lives. So justification is by faith alone. When you come to Christ, you are immediately, as we have learned, you're declared innocent by Almighty God. But after justification, which is a one-time act, okay, a judicial decision by God, the next step in the life of the believer is what we call sanctification, or the Bible calls sanctification. That's where the work of the Holy Spirit of God starts happening in your life, where the Holy Spirit is taking you from one adventure to the next adventure, or as I like to say, from glory to glory to glory, into the image of Christ Jesus. So into Christ's likeness. Amen? But how in the world is that really accomplished? It's not accomplished by self-effort. It's not accomplished by our own power. Amen? No, not at all. But it is accomplished, loved one, not by rules, not by legalism. See, we're under love now, not law, okay? But it's accomplished when you, the believer, really and truly give the Holy Spirit his rightful place in your life. That's the only way you can live the Christian life. You can't live it without the Holy Spirit of God, amen? Now, with all that being said, you know, that's when the adventure, loved one, begins. It's when the Spirit truly has his way in all of us. Okay, look at verse 25 of chapter 5 there in Galatians. What does it say? If we live in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. What a glorious thing. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? Walk in the Spirit. Boy, that is such, I can't wait till we get over to verse 16 next Sunday, the Lord willing, but we're only going to cover 15 verses this morning. Now, as we do, we know that we are free in Christ Jesus. Amen? We have incredible freedom. Look back at chapter 4, verse 31. It says, "So then, brethren, we are not children of Hagar, the bondwoman, the slave woman. We don't belong to her. That's works of the flesh and self-effort. No, no, but we of the free." In other words, we as Isaac, the son of promise, he was supernaturally born, and we are supernaturally born from above, new creations in Christ. What a wonderful thing. However, this incredible freedom that we have, the Christian faces two dangers, okay, that we're going to find in these 15 verses this morning. And the first danger is from verses 1 through 12, legalism. Legalism is when a believer denies the freedom that Christ purchased for us. And verses 13 through 15, license, in other words, is a perversion of the freedom that God gave us. That's that just sinning, you know, we're under no law or whatnot, we're under grace. So we've been given a command, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 5. Let's begin our study. It says, in this command, stand fast, therefore. Therefore takes us back to what we learned last Sunday. Stand fast, therefore, in the freedom or the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Not laws, but Christ. And do not be entangled again. That word literally means, don't you ever allow anyone to make you a slave or put you in bondage, okay? He says, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. In this case, of course, meaning the law, the Mosaic law, the ceremonies, and all the rest of it. This is an incredible, glorious command. You should read it often. You should believe it with all of your heart, because God, right here, he says this, God who is and what he has done for the believer in Christ, he says this, become now, right now, become what you are. You are a brand new creation in Christ. You are born from above. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You're no longer married to the law. You're not under the law. You are under grace the rest of your life. Amen? He says, don't you let anyone put a yoke of bondage on you. You put on the yoke of grace. You put on the yoke of Christ. You stay in the unmerited favor of God. Listen, do you really believe that you've been set free? If you don't believe Scripture, you'll never be set free. But my life first, John 8:32, for ye shall know the truth, and the truth, Jesus said, will make you free. But it's a truth that you know, truly know, and believe in your heart, and you apply it to your life. Jesus goes on in John 8, and I think it's verse 36, he says, and to whom the Son is set free, is free indeed. Amen? You are free indeed if you believe the truth of God's word and you hold it dear in your heart. Blaise Pascal said this, truth is so obscure in these times and falsehood so established that unless we love the truth, we cannot know it. Man, loved one, listen. The word of God, hide it in your hearts. Amen? It's so valuable, so important. So Paul says this, indeed I, Paul, say to you that if, that means they're, maybe they were right on the verge of turning completely away from grace and going to the law, but we're not sure. Indeed I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised. Now, you know what the Judaizers, those false teachers, were trying to do. It was Jesus plus works. Now you're really saved, okay? So Paul does something here. He doesn't say we, he says I. He leaves all the other apostles, Timothy, everybody else, he leaves them out. He says, I'm speaking to you now under the apostolic authority that God has given unto me. And he says, you better mark my words. It's very serious, loved one. He says, if you become circumcised to gain merit before the living God, he said, as a condition for salvation. In other words, Jesus plus anything else. If you're going to do that, he says, Christ, look at the verse there, Christ will profit you what? Nothing. No benefit to you. None at all. Paul's warning, he says, listen, salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, through grace alone, and in no one else. It cannot be by both. Galatians 2:16, remember what it says? It says, for by the works of the law, the Mosaic covenant, by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. No flesh. That means anywhere in the world, any person, you will never be declared innocent in the eyes of God by human effort or human merit. It'll never happen. So he says, and I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor. In other words, he's under an obligation. He's a debtor to keep the whole law, not just part of the law. You know, you can't fragment the law of Moses. You know how many commands are in the law of Moses? 613 commands. I couldn't even memorize three of them. You understand? I can't keep 613 of anything. Hello. Bear with me, man. All right. I need your help this morning. I'm serious. Listen, you become circumcised, Paul says, to gain acceptance with God. Here's what you're going to have to do then. You're going to have to keep the entire Mosaic law absolutely perfectly and obey every one of those commands. And if you break just one of them, you have broken them all. That's exactly what James 2:10 says. Let me read it. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, just one point. You know, a Corvette drives by and you covet that Corvette. You just broke it. You just failed. What are you going to do? He says, if you just break one point, it says, you are guilty of all. It's like you've broken all of the law. See, no one can keep the law. No man's ever been saved by keeping the law. Only Christ kept the law perfectly. Amen? Now, he says then, if you're going to do these things, look what he says. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt, there's that effort again. You who attempt to be justified, declared innocent by the law, look what happens. You have fallen from grace. Now listen, that's not talking about meaning salvation. It's meaning the method that you're choosing for salvation. You've fallen completely out of the sphere of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unmerited, unearned, unconditional divine favor. That's what Paul is saying. Let me give you a few translations from other Bibles about this verse. Let me read them to you. On being estranged from Christ. One translation says, you are cut off. You are alienated from Christ, the only Savior. Here's another one. You have finished with Christ. Another. Your relationship with Christ is done. It is completely severed. It is canceled. What a horrible, horrible thought. Amen? That makes me tremble. I mean, it does. I would never want to be severed from the Lord. Not that we can be. We can't. But think about that. No, we're under grace, loved one. We're not under the law. Men don't fall from grace because they sin, okay? In other words, now you have to be saved all over again. No, loved one. But I tell you what, you fall from grace when you take the law and you put it in the place of grace. That's when you get in trouble. Any attempt to be justified by human effort, any kind of law, any attempt at all to be justified by is to fall out of the sphere of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You never want to be there. You never want to do that. To fall from grace means this. If you don't want to live under grace, any person, it means now you're back under the law. Does that make sense? And it also means that you no longer have a loving relationship with God. It means you want a legal relationship with God. Lord, you know, I prayed today. I really prayed, didn't I? Matter of fact, I even took notes on how well I prayed. You know it? No. Lord, look how much I gave today. Look at that person I helped. No. God doesn't want a legal relationship with. We're his children. I mean, you have a legal relationship with your father, your parent? Do you walk in, oh, God, Lord, I love you. How? You don't do that? No. Say, Abba, Father. Amen. God doesn't want a legal relationship with you. The devil wants you to have a legal relationship. He wants you to try to earn God's favor, earn God's love, earn God's forgiveness when we already have that, loved one. So, man, when you fall from grace, it means that now you're back under Galatians 3:21. You're back under the curse. You're cursed. Man, think about that. Not only that, it means that if you go back to the law, now or then, it means that you have turned your back on sanctification. You've been bewitched. It means that you're no longer trying to live the Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit, but by self-effort. It can't be done. It can't be done by the flesh at all. It also means to renounce the free gift of God. Ephesians 2:8, it's for by grace that you're saved, amen? It's the gift of God. I'm so thankful for grace, aren't you? I mean, for God's unmerited, unearned, undeserved, unconditional favor to rest upon us. Romans 5:2 says that we stand in the grace of God 24/7, loved one. That's the sphere that I truly and you truly want to live in. And that grace is the only means on this planet by which a man, a woman, a person can be justified before the living God. Not only that, if you go back under the law, you can never do the Hebrews 4:16. You can never go to the throne of grace. You're supposed to go boldly to the throne of grace, not the throne of judgment. The place where you find grace and mercy and help in time of need and you obtain it. No, who would ever want to leave the grace of the living God? It says, for we, meaning all true believers then and now, for we, through the flesh, through the Spirit, through the power of the Holy Spirit, look what we're doing right this minute. They were waiting and we are eagerly waiting as well. Look what we're waiting for. The hope of righteousness. And how does that come? By faith. Not by works, not by legalism, by faith. Now, what is he talking about? Paul is saying right here, one day, the end result of God's grace. When the day that when we finally leave this place and we go home, we've been set free here from the power of sin, the consequence of sin, but on that day, we are now separated forever from the presence of sin. For when we go home, there's no sin there. Amen? So what happens then here is the end result of grace is when the position that we hold, justified by God, becomes a reality, a total then reality in our lives. See, the Judaizers, the false teachers, they were trying to add righteousness or add the hope of righteousness by self-effort and works, not us. We're just waiting for the Lord. We're eagerly waiting for that hope of righteousness, meaning our future glorification. 1 John 3:2, when we see him, we will be like him. Amen? So we're speaking of the future glorification. Look at verse 6. For those, is how it should read, for those in Christ Jesus, meaning those that are in the sphere of God's grace, neither circumcision or uncircumcision counts for anything or avails anything. But here comes our sermon. But faith working through the flesh. No, through self-effort. No, but faith working through love. Let me tell you something. Faith is all that matters. Faith, that's it. You cannot please God without faith. Amen? Okay. Every man, Romans 12:3, every person has been given a measure of faith. Every one of us. We have faith living in us right this minute. But it says there that faith is working through love, meaning that faith is expressed. Faith is energized, if you will, by the true agape of God, that love of God that's in our hearts. Go back and look at chapter 2 of Galatians, verse 20. Remember when Paul said, listen, I have died to the law. I'm dead to the law completely. And look what he says. He says in verse 20 of Galatians 2, I have been crucified, what? With Christ. That's a very important word, with Christ. In other words, some people call that co-crucifixion. Well, when in the world was Paul crucified with Christ? When Jesus died, Paul died. Amen? When Jesus rose from the dead, Paul rose from the dead. Whenever Jesus ascended, we ascended as well. Amen? Yeah, we are now seated in heavenly places, it says in Ephesians, with Christ Jesus, our Lord. So listen now. Paul says, I've been, past fact, crucified with Christ. So what happened to Jesus physically on the cross happened legally to Paul in God's eyes, and legally to us as well. That's why Paul said, listen, I've been crucified, I'm dead. He says, it is no longer I who live. I am a dead man. I am dead to the law. Yes, the slave is still in me, that old man, that old nature who wants to sit upon the throne of my heart and rule me. But he says, I reckon him dead. That's the best place to keep the old man. Amen. He says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So the Christian life, loved one, is based on relationship, not on legalism and not on a set of rules. He says, and the life which I live right this very minute, right now. He says, yes, I live it in the flesh, just like we do. Not this flesh on our arms, meaning that old dead man, Adam. You know what I mean? That Adamic nature, fallen man. And the life I live now in the flesh, oh, I live by what? Faith. There it is. Faith working through love. I live, and look at the object of Paul's faith. He says, the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, in this life, we're going to have troubles. We're going to have problems. We're going to have ups and downs and so forth. But the fact of the matter is that we now live by faith, working through love or energized by love or expressed through love. See, you don't obey God because of the law. Amen? Wouldn't that be horrible? You're going to love me whether you like it or not. You know what I mean? That's like, okay, I'm going to be a robot. No. No, listen, you don't obey the Lord because of the law. You obey the Lord because you love the Lord. Amen? You want to do what's right. You don't want to go out and live the old life anymore. You don't want to do those things. No, faith works through love. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, so grace is our great enabler. Listen to me now. Grace doesn't produce a bunch of... No, let me back that up. Grace doesn't produce lazy Christianity. Well, I'm under grace. No? Okay, well, that doesn't mean you can be, I don't have to do a thing. Amen? Faith without works is dead. Hello? I have faith. Well, I don't see your faith. I can't look into your heart and see faith. Faith and works makes faith visible. Amen? Okay. So here, when we obey the Lord, listen, I don't have to give at all. If I never gave God a dime, would I still make heaven? Yes. Some of you know what I mean. Now that was the Holy Spirit. No, listen, I don't have to give, but I want to give. Why? I'll tell you in a minute. See, I don't have to serve, but I want to serve. I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord until I go home. I want to serve him then and forever. He saved me. He saved you. I don't have to pray. I want to pray. I don't have to study my Bible. I want to study my Bible. Why? I'm not the old man anymore. Does that make sense? Yeah, loved one, listen, that's faith expressing itself through love. I want to please the Lord in things that I think and things that come out of my mouth and word, deed, action, whatever it might be. But here's the thing. The reason that we do all this and the reason that we can do all this is because the Holy Spirit has his rightful place in our life. If the Holy Spirit doesn't have his rightful place in your life, you're not going to pray. Dust is going to collect on your Bible. Your wallet will never open to support the kingdom of God. You'll never think that prayer, going into the prayer closet, is vital and important. Unless the Holy Spirit has his way in your life. See, that love is there. Faith worketh through love. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is, there you go, supernatural love, the agape of God. It is in your heart, loved one. So the reason that we obey, the reason that we serve is because I want to. Holy Spirit, lead me. I leave there. I come right up here. Jesse or whoever's up here, they're praying. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, I'm tired. Holy Spirit, I can't do this, but you can. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll say anything you tell me to say. Oh God, just use me. I want to listen to you. I want to follow you, the divine helper, the one who's empowered us. Amen. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. He's alongside of us. Man, we need that kind of life, loved one. Does the Holy Spirit have say in your life? Are you led by the Spirit? If you are, you're called the sons of God, the daughters of God. But you have to be led by the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit.
Once again, we're out of time, but please don't miss tomorrow's program when Pastor Bill will conclude today's message. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.